What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle Corbliss. Another exciting episode this week. Today's actually Friday as of recording date. I wish I knew what episode was coming out this week. I mean, I definitely could figure it out, but I'm not going to go back and count the weeks and do the math. Because for me, like, it's way too early for that. For people who don't know, I've been working nights recently. I have a day job. I wish this paid the bills. It doesn't. Maybe it will. Someone wants to throw a sponsor out there.
Yeah.
Wants to pay me the gabagoo. Like, I'm all down. There it goes. But for right now, I'm working nights. So, like, I'm kind of tired. I want to sleep at 4:30 in the morning. Like, it's just like one of those things, right? So that's okay. Really excited. It's going to be a great episode. Energy is high, Delaney.
Hi.
Delaney Ramsdale was with me today. I'm really excited. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm just waking up here. It's 9 o'clock in Nashville right now. And so I'm having a big fat cup of coffee as always. And just getting ready for the day. Got two writes today.
Cool.
And
very cool.
That's what I'm doing.
What is your typical in your mug? What's your coffee? Like, what's your go-to?
So my boyfriend actually owns a coffee cart. Like, that's what he does full time. Yeah. It's called Subliminal Coffee. Like,
wait, what's it called? Say it one more time.
Subliminal Coffee.
They got it on Instagram?
Yes, Subliminal Coffee Co. And so he is like the barista. He is the guy. And so I usually have like some ridiculously expensive pour over because that's what he likes. So that's what he makes me.
Yeah.
So I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled rotten with the coffee.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really, really awesome.
Yeah.
How do you like, so like, this is a total side note and maybe these are more questions for him, but do you like, for like, did he just like start working at Starbucks and realize he really liked being a barista and then was like, screw it, I'm gonna open up a coffee cart?
So he worked in St. Louis, that's where he's from. He worked at a shop called Upshot in St. Louis, then moved to Nashville for college and worked at Barista Parlor for like 2 years and was their quality assurance manager. And then he was like, I kind of want to work for myself. And so he just did. And so he does like events, like weddings, pop-ups, like corporate events and things like that. So
wait, this is so cool. I'm looking at the Instagram right now. This is so cool.
It's honestly super fun. So
My girlfriend would love this. She's obsessed with coffee. I like coffee too, but she's obsessed with coffee. She would love this.
Yeah.
Does he just like, does he pop up every day at different places?
Yep.
Wow. And is it always like a private event or is it like just going to be random?
No, I mean, like he like pops up at our gym. Like he pops up at like little stores. Like he pops up at like, I mean, he's done some stuff at like restaurant, like other restaurants and things. So it's like, it just kind of depends. It's not always private. A lot of the time it's just like a regular day, you know?
Cool.
So.
Well, I don't know what week it is as of recording. I think it's probably the first week of October, but first week of November, I think I'm going to be back in Nashville. I'm going to have to pay a visit.
Seriously, y'all should come. Seriously.
That's pretty cool. I wish I knew this when I was there like 3 weeks ago. This is pretty cool.
I
love this. Sorry, I'm like geeking over this call. I think it's really cool when people have like business ventures that are like not necessarily like a normal type of business venture.
Y'all should come when you come to Nashville.
There's this place in I'm from New Jersey and I go down to Wildwood, New Jersey, which is a beach that's closer to Philly. We go down there and over the summer for a week or so, and there's someone who runs a pop-up out of an Airstream. Like the whole thing is, I have an old school like 70s silver bus Airstream, which
I love it.
Yeah. And she just like parks it at random spots and she does it with her brother and they just like drive it to random spots and they park it. And they have like one like location where they typically park for most of the summer and then they'll just move it on, which I think is cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty cool. So you're a coffee connoisseur by trade or by association there. I'm typically just like a black coffee, couple of Splendas, call it a day kind of guy. I'm not saying it's good.
No shame. There is no shame.
Just saying it doesn't work. I'm you know what I am a sucker for? Good espresso.
Me too.
That I am a sucker for. But I have this thing though. I'm weird, right? So, and I've said this before, and say what you want, but I, for some reason, think hot coffee is way too hot in my mouth. I think I have like a taste bud problem or like a sensitivity problem because it's really, really hot. No matter like it doesn't, it's not because typically like people don't make piping hot coffee to the point where you can't drink it, but I can't. Like it's like one of those things that I'm like pulling it away, right? So that's why I go for espresso though, because it's such a small amount and it's done, it does the job, and I'm good to go.
I'm kind of with you on that. Like if I order an espresso drink, I get a cortado, which is like short, like 4 ounces, like barely any milk. Like just I want to be there and done. And I also just like don't need a lot of coffee because I will be insane. So I need just a minimal amount and then I'm good to go.
I'm insane too without coffee. I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm insane all the time. But
are you a big caffeine person or just coffee?
Just coffee. I like actually I'm actually pretty sensitive to caffeine. Like I have never had a Red Bull in my life.
Me neither.
Because I know the people around me would suffer.
Yeah.
It is what it is. They would suffer.
I've never had a Red Bull either. I've tasted a Red Bull. I've never had a full one.
I've never had any energy drink. Like I don't do pre-workout. I don't do any of that stuff. I just
wow.
Yeah.
I'm very scared. Similar. We're very similar. Yeah. I don't really do that either, except guilty as charged, but I have been occasionally, like I said, I've been at work at nights and I've been occasionally drinking a Celsius.
I feel like that's wild. That's like the white girl energy drink of all of like.
And if I was gonna drink any energy drink, it would be the white girl energy drink. That's
totally sure. That's okay. It's okay.
There's nothing wrong. We all have our down. It's not every day. It's not every day. It's like once or twice a week if I'm really yeah. No, it's not every single day. Typically it's a DC. I mean you can't
yeah, that's fine.
They're the worst things in the world. They're worse. Someone was making a joke with me about Diet Coke so we're laying out all the stops today. I have diabetes, so I drink only diet. If I like am gonna drink a Coke, I would drink a Diet Coke. My buddy walks up to me and he's like randomly, he's got a Coke Zero in his hand. He goes, "Let me ask you a question." I'm like, "Oh God, where the hell is this going?" And he goes, "What would be worse?" Now, this is the dumbest question, so you're going to laugh. But what would be worse if you drank a regular Coke or a Diet Coke? I'm like, what kind of question is that? You know the answer to that. And he's like, "Well, they always say like Diet Coke is really bad for you for what's in it." I'm like, yeah, because there's all this artificial shit in it that's like more artificial than what's in Coke so that people like me can drink it. And he's like, yeah, but like, what would happen if you just, I was like, it wouldn't be good. It would not end well.
The numbers would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous. It would not be fun. But I don't know. I thought that was funny. And I was just like, and then he's like, you know, they say the Diet Coke's so bad for you that like, it's all like super toxic. I'm like, yeah, I know, but like you only live once. And he's like, I bet you a Miller Lite is better. And I go, I'll tell you that for free. And that's why I drank it. So
that's funny.
I mean, that's it. I love it. But let's move on from the beverage conversation. Cause it's just now it's getting out of hand. I love to ramble. And I think just being tired just makes me want to ramble, and that's just what happens. But nonetheless, so you're 23 years old. You live in Nashville. You're from Texas.
I sure am.
So let's just kind of – we don't need to start at the beginning because I hate, like, the whole, like – I typically say and, like, feel free to go this way. But for me, I feel like I hate when people are like, so, like, what was playing in your house? You know what I mean? Because, like, everyone – if you play music or if you're someone like me – you love music. Like it is something that is a constant in your life. It's always on. It's always playing. You're always listening to new stuff. Like it's constant. That's why you get into it. Cause you love it. Right. It's your passion. So we know you listen to music, right? But
I listen to a lot of music all the time. So yeah.
And variations of types of music or
all sorts of stuff because I write all sorts of stuff. I mean, obviously live in country and Americana lanes, you know, most of the time, but I've written pop. I've written like R&B. I've written Christian music. I've written folk. I've written all over the map. So I have to keep a pretty like diverse kind of portfolio because I'm in different situations all the time. Yeah. So, so I listen to everything.
So in Texas, right? Like people get this common misconception. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on last week's episode because we were talking about where this individual was and like how his parents did not like country music for the most part. And but he's from the South. So I like brought up the fact that like I think everyone, especially up here in New Jersey, like has the, I think that's how I said it, has the, like, because I'm like the one guy that's obsessed with country music more than like most people are, right? Like I brought this up last week too. Like my buddy was like, hey, I've been following you on Instagram for like 7 or 8 months, and I don't think I've seen you post one other thing on your Instagram story than country music. And I was like, at least I'm consistent. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's all you can ask for. Yeah.
And I like mentioned the fact that like out of things, excluding humans, out of things, like there's probably nothing I care about more. Right. And that's just a fact. It's just a fact and it is what it is. It's okay. And, but I brought that up to say like the people in my area of the country have this misconception that every single person, once you hit down South, for the most part, has some sort of liking to country music, which is not true. It's obviously not true. Growing up in Texas, it's a little bit stronger, right?
Yeah.
Probably not the strongest, but it's a little bit stronger.
It depends on where you are. Yeah. So I grew up in West Texas, like in the middle of nowhere, literally. Like my hometown has 18 people in it. Like
one eighth. No way.
Yeah, 1/8. It's called Roosevelt. If you look it up on Google, it says it's a historical community and that only 9 people live there. But that's not true. It's closer to like 20-ish. but it's like literally, it's like one building. Like it's a singular building off I-10. But anyway, went to school in a different town and whatever. But I mean, for us, we only had one radio station and it shared with the next town over. So like, it was like half a radio station. And all it played was like classic country. Like they didn't play anything like after like 1990, hardly at all.
Wow.
And so I literally listened to country music all the time. All like growing up, I listened to almost exclusively classic country. And then I also listened to like 70s, like folk rock and like Americana. I listened to like Emmylou Harris and Linda Ronstadt. And then I listened to like legitimate classic country. And that was like a lot of what I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, different areas of Texas are different. Like as soon as you go to East Texas, it's a whole separate situation. But I mean, I felt like, you know, country music was a really big part of our DNA. Sure. You know, you really couldn't get away from it in a lot of ways. And so when I moved to Nashville, I wanted to do something different, obviously, because you always want to do something different. Like, yeah. I was like, I want to start over. I'm going to be different. Like,
yeah. Cool. It's like when you go to college and you have that opportunity to like, you look at yourself and you're like, none of these people know me. I could be someone totally different.
Literally. And that's what I wanted to do. And so I tried it and it was terrible and it just like didn't work. And then I got invited to play this like country round and it was like ridiculous. Like, yeah. And then after that, I was like in country forever. So
it's automatic at that point, right? Because it's
it was like a brief blip of like me trying to be something else. And it just like.
Because you wanted to fight it, but you knew where you really lied.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like music was a big part of my DNA growing up. And both my parents have really good taste in music, which is awesome. And they're really, I mean, but I was also like a captive audience. So like whatever they listen to, I also listen to.
Sure.
And I also, I mean, I listen to country and like 70s kind of folk rock, but I also listen to a lot of funk. I listen to a lot of like classic R&B. I felt like I listened to a lot of like older like rock and pop stuff too. So I kind of got like, and jazz, I listened to a lot of jazz growing up. So I got quite a bit of like repertoire and other.
Well-rounded.
Yeah.
Well-rounded. So. I would like to think that I'm fairly well-rounded too. My dad's got a pretty good taste in music. To this day, I'm not really sure where my mom lies, besides the fact that she likes ABBA and she likes Bryan Adams. And other than that,
that's
about it from her. But
I love that for her.
And all my siblings will agree. I just want to let you know that I'm not just making it up.
I love that for her.
We don't know where she sits, but my dad's got really good taste in music. Besides the fact that he doesn't really love country music, that's the only thing that's his negative, right? But so because of that, I'm versatile as well, I'd like to think. But as I've gotten older, I've whittled out what I don't necessarily love and what I do love.
Yeah,
what
me
I
too.
Want to focus more on my time on. So besides the point, I just looked up and Roseville, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Says 9 people.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts. And it is a historical community. And I also hit the images just to look. Yeah, looks like it's out of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does.
Not real. It's been renovated like in the last couple of years, so the pictures that are on there are like what it looked like when I was growing up.
Sure.
But it's all bougied up now. But it's
Wow,
okay.
look at that.
It
Little
probably
20,
needed
get a little
to
20 people, they get a little big headed, they're bougied
I
up
know.
a
It
little
probably needed to be bougied up because it was like kind of decrepit. But we loved it in the way that it was.
Yeah,
So
exactly. So
yeah.
if you went to a different, I don't want to dwell on this because there's actually a little legit music topic that I want to talk about. But the best part about this podcast, we can talk about whatever we want. So when you go to, you went to high school with obviously other high schools, or that would just be insane. But what was your graduating class size?
So I went to school in a town called Sonora, and
Okay.
Sonora is 45 minutes away from Roosevelt, 45
Okay.
minutes west of Roosevelt. And so my graduating class, I think, had like 50 kids in it. So it wasn't like super small. I mean, I know people that had smaller classes than me, but
Yeah. I've heard smaller, which, but by the way, to me, that's like bonkers, but I've heard smaller. I've heard smaller than 50. I mean, I graduated with like, I think it was closer to 400 kids, right? They're
Our
like,
high school didn't even have 400 kids in it, so.
yeah. 45 minutes to get to school every day. That's pretty insane.
So when I was in elementary school, we drove it every day. And then when I got into middle school, me and my sister started like doing sports and stuff. So then my parents, we like had a rent, like we rented a house in town because we just couldn't make the drive. It was
Right.
too far. You
Because
know,
then
if we were,
after school you go to practice, right? And then by that time it's
and
already
then in the morning we had
yeah.
athletics and in the afternoon we had athletics. So it's like we couldn't,
Yeah. That's crazy. Wow. Wow. Hey, listen. You did it. So that's great, right? I love it. So what did you do for fun growing up other than music? Like what was your thing? Because for me, like it was always like playing stickball with my friends and like getting a little rough and like maybe hurting each other a little bit. But like we used to play kill the carrier. It was like whoever had the ball in the hand, you just go and hit them and you try and make them move the
Trying to
ball.
think what we did for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when we were in high school, there wasn't a lot to do in like Sonora, obviously. Like, we would like go to Sonic and like get drinks and hang out and like listen to music, whatever. And like we would just hang out in people's houses and we like, would hike and swim and float the river and stuff like that. And I grew up on the North Llano River, so we would like kayak and
That's
like
cool.
float, hang around that. And that's pretty much what we would do. Just like normal small town
Yeah.
kid things. Drove around a lot. That was like
Sure.
I drove around a lot.
But do you remember like music memories while you're doing that? Because like for me, like we drove around a lot too. Like even though like I grew up in the suburbs, like we drove around a lot. And I always talk about how like there's songs that I listen to this day, and I remember when I used to listen to them the most and exactly whose car I was in and like where we were. So like was that really influential on you and your friends?
Yeah, and I feel like even then, like when we were, I mean, we would listen to some country stuff and we were like driving around, but we listened to a lot of pop and like a lot of like rap. 'Cause like when I was in high school, I graduated in 2018. So like that was like the peak era, like 2015 to 2018 was like the peak era of rap, in my personal opinion. That shit was bumping. And so we listened to a lot of rap. Which is like so weird, but it was so good. And
Yeah.
I just like can remember like listening to like rap or like even just like top 40 stuff
Sure,
that was
sure.
like fun.
Yeah.
But
Hey, listen, I agree with you. I totally agree.
so
So that is the one thing I'm not what's the word I'm looking for here? Like I'm just not into rap. But I used to be when I was growing up. I graduated in 2016, right? So like 2013, 12, 14, like that's when like around that time is like when Eminem was really, really big. Well, besides obviously his early stuff, but like he came back with like a revival album and like that got really big. And then Drake was like popping off too a little bit more, like more than he was before.
Yeah.
It was really big. So I would like listen to that stuff. But around that same time when I turned about 14, I found country music. So I used to like drive to, or I used to like go to school and I would listen to like, you would hear like The Motto, right? By like Drake. And then it would flip to like, I don't know. At that time, it was probably like some song by Rascal Flatts or some dumb shit. But
Life is a highway. No, I'm just kidding.
honestly, maybe. But seriously, like that's what it was. So it was like kind of a weird time. But I agree with you. Rap was very it was very different than it is now.
And it was better back then, but
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I still listen to it because I do this thing where I'll study genres to just to make sure that I'm like in the know. And so like I'll listen to like top stuff, like top 40 or like top charts and rap or in pop or whatever. So like I listen to stuff now, but not really at like an enjoyment level, as like an intellectual level.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But
I feel like I just like don't, which is not true, but this is totally me just making up excuses. But I feel like I just don't have time to listen to anything else than what I'm like really, really into, which is just not true. Because I listen to so much music and I listen all the time. But like, I think at first I wanted to tell myself, yeah, I just don't have time to stay up to date on the other projects, right? But it's just, I just didn't love it as much, right?
Yeah, that's how I
but,
feel too.
But like when Bruno Mars and Silk Sonic and Anderson .Paak dropped Silk Sonic, I was all in.
I was all in. I have it on vinyl too.
Me too. Me too. Remember, it was like this one. I remember when it first came out, I was like, I got it. Me and my buddy Nick, he was like, because he loves it too. And I was like, yo, Nick, we got to get it on vinyl. And he was like, I know, but they're not selling it. And then they made a pre-order for it, if you remember. And I pre-ordered it because I thought that it would never hit the stores. And it took almost a year for us to get it. We totally forgot about it. It just showed up on our doorstep.
That's so nice.
What a great vinyl, right? It's got the felt like inside and in the felt centerpiece or insert piece. It's great.
So good. It's such a good record.
Such a good record. So, and I'm glad that part of me hopes that they don't do anything else.
Me too. I want it to just be done. Yeah.
Because that was so good. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to top that.
No sequel. I just want it to be what it is. Yeah.
Randomly enough, do you have two or three pop albums that have like really influenced you in the last like 5 years? In terms of your own music? That.
In terms of my own music,
or maybe like writing, I don't know, writing or just like in general, like maybe inspiring you. Because I have two, and that's one of them.
Okay. Well, that one I think would be on my list. Maybe not as like a musical inspiration level, but just like an enjoyment. Like
that's fair. That's where it's at for me.
I also, weirdly enough, Miley Cyrus's Plastic Hearts record is really great. I really, really like that. It's like a rock record.
Yeah. And which one is that in terms of like recent?
Let me see if I can find it. It was like not that long ago.
Okay, then I know which one you're talking about.
Let's see. I'll find the cover. It's this one.
Yeah. That's definitely like a rock record. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then Dua Lipa's record that she put out like in like 2020. I don't even remember what it's called. Let's see if I can find it. I think it was Future Nostalgia.
Mm.
Delish. I loved it. It was
Delish.
So delish. But those I would say are like my like two kind of outside. Cool. Well, and the Bruno Mars record, obviously.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I dig that. I think that's cool. For me, the other one was actually a really recent one. You're probably going to laugh, but the Jonas Brothers.
I'm not going to laugh at that at all. I think Jonas Brothers are great.
I thought that new album, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Because I thought the one before that, their like comeback album, not that good. But this one, incredible.
I haven't listened to all of it yet, but I need to. So.
You would like it. It's very funky. They pull a ton of 70s stuff out of it.
Well, I'll have to give it a listen.
You're well-rounded. You listen to a bunch of different stuff, but you're also really into country music. I love all aspects of that. Now, this is like the big point, right? You're 23 years old and you live in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
What gets you to Nashville from Roosevelt, Texas, a town of 20 people?
Yep. So my sister was a really, really, really good golfer. Like she once played four times in Texas, which is like a big deal. It's a big state. And she was freaking awesome. And so she had been scouted by the coach at Belmont University.
Cool.
And they were like, come see the campus. Come see what, like, if it would be a good fit for you. So she came up here. I think I had went to a camp here or something. Like, I was like, you know, 15 or 16.
Sure.
But she had come to look at the campus and meet the coach. And it just, like, was not the right fit for her. But they were talking about, like, in the tour, how they had, like, a songwriting program, music business program. So my dad was like, oh, like, I have one of those.
Yeah, I got one of those.
I got one of those, and it's me. Yeah. And so then I, like, applied to Belmont to the songwriting program, got rejected the first time, was, like, super heartbroken about it.
Yeah.
And then I finally got accepted in the songwriting program and came to school in 2018 here, and that's kind of what got me here. Like, it was almost kind of by accident with my sister just, like, finding out about the school, but – I didn't even know it really existed. And so, went through the songwriting program there, graduated early in 2021 because it was all online and it was like, sucked. And so graduated in 2021. And then I've kind of been writing and I've worked in social media management, you know, kind of as the day job. But now I'm kind of into writing full time and that's pretty much what I'm doing. Cool. And then my music that I've been like putting out on like, you know, streaming platforms is, it's kind of like, it's not like it's just for fun because it is serious, but it's one of those things where it's like the artist thing is really hard and it's really, it doesn't feel terribly natural. So I've been kind of living in more of like the writer lane mostly these days, but I also am just kind of throwing all the things at the wall to see what works. And so But the record that I'm putting out later this year, or extended EP, is really great. And so I just put the first single off of that out a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Travel and
Amazing.
Light. And then I've got the next
Great
one coming
song.
out on September 21st.
Cool.
It's called Any Good Wife. I haven't even put that on socials yet, but
Wow,
fun
look
song.
at that. You heard it here first.
Right here first, baby.
I
But
love it.
by the time this comes out, it'll be plastered on that
Yeah.
social media.
Fantastic.
But that's kind of what I've been doing, and I've loved living here. I adore it. I love being able to write two
Yeah.
songs every day and just crank them out and, live the dream
I
pretty
love
much.
that.
So,
I love that. I have a few points here, and one of them I gotta ask, what's the age difference between you and your sister?
we're 20 months apart, so we're pretty close.
Wow, is that, what do they call that? An Irish, isn't that something? Isn't there like a
Yeah,
term for that?
something, I don't know, but
I
yeah,
don't
I
know
don't
if
even.
you're in the range or not, but I'm a twin, so like I like to hear if like people are like, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you said you're like, it sounded like you're pretty close, it's like, maybe she's a twin. Like
Maybe,
you never know, right? But
yeah.
that's pretty cool. So what is, obviously Belmont's, Belmont's Belmont, and a lot of great writers and great artists have come out of Belmont. What is the, like, I've never asked this before, and I've talked to a million people who have gone to Belmont, it feels like, but what is like the application process like to get in the songwriting program? Like, do you like submit writing samples and whatnot?
Yeah, so it's different now, I think. I don't know for sure. So when I first was going to apply, it was you had to send in two produced demos of like differing genres or something like that.
Interesting.
And so I made these demos, like recorded them, and then they changed the application process. So then I had these two songs and I was like, what do I do with them? And then my dad was like, just release them. I was like 18, 17, 18. I was like, okay. And so then that's how I came up with my first project, which I released when I was 17, maybe 18. And so that was like the first thing that kind of came out of the gate, which was just like because we had the songs, I was like, I can't just let them like live on my computer forever. And then, but then it changed. And so it was like you had to perform, it was like a video of you playing two songs that you had written.
Interesting.
And
So did you just play those two songs, or did you play two songs that you liked more?
I played two songs that were better, I think.
No, that's a better way to put it. Yeah, there you go. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Wow, it's got to be so competitive.
It is. I mean, the program's pretty small. I think in my year at Belmont, there were 70 kids in the program in
That's
total.
it, really. I always thought it'd be way bigger. Huh.
No, the music business program is big, but the songwriting program is not very big.
How many people are at Belmont doing other stuff that's unrelated?
I was there, it was like 8,000 total students.
Okay, it's about where, that's about the size of where I went to school.
But I think it was like 6,000 undergrad. I don't know for certain what it is now.
Yeah, that probably sounds right.
Yeah. So something
Wow.
like that.
And would you say like majority of them are there for music purposes?
Yeah, pretty much. And like
Interesting.
nursing, a big nursing program there. But.
Oh, cool. Interesting. What I like about it is this, is like you mentioned how like in 2021 you graduated early because it was all online, right? But the best part about it is like, and this is how it seems to be for, there's countless people that I can mention that have gone there and that stayed. S.J. McDonald, Hallie Kearns, right? They're all
SJ's a
Belmont
really good
people.
friend of mine. She actually wrote on this last
S.J. is
project.
the best. I love S.J.
I love her.
When I talk to S.J., I'm automatically in a better mood. It's just,
Yeah, me too. She's like a
she's just
really, she's a really close friend of mine, and she is just
cool.
like salt of the earth. I just love her to death.
That's awesome. Tell her I said hello. I haven't talked to her in a
I
while.
will. I sure
But
will.
those are examples, right? But like what I think is cool is like those are all people that weren't from Nashville, Tennessee, and they basically just stayed in their college town, for lack of a better term. And but also like that's great. But the positive is like, how like when I went to college, right? Like when I was a sophomore, or like a second semester sophomore, I went to go and get an internship. Like your internship is literally writing with people, whether they be Belmont students or other students outside, or other people outside
Totally.
of Belmont. So like you're starting your career while you're in college, and you continue that as that goes on. And
You just
like,
like I've been doing this since I was 18, pretty much.
right. And that's incredible, right? Like that's so cool, and it's so beneficial, especially for just like an 18-year-old kid that moves from wherever they move from. So I think
Absolutely.
it's really, really cool. And I think the whole con like it's in the perfect spot, obviously. I mean, there's obviously other music business programs in other places, but like that is the perfect spot. And I just think it's awesome. So I'm glad you went there. And I'm glad like that you started like going through that stuff, and like getting the work in early. I think it's fantastic. Now, Travel and Light, right? Great song. I'm really into like voices that stick out. And I think like a lot of people are, and but that's like where I think you lie is like, there's a lot of uniqueness there, and it's not cut and dry. Like you don't know exactly who you're, like, you know exactly who you're listening to when you listen to it, and it's not like you taking a guess, right? And I think that's really, really cool. Why'd you choose this song to be first?
I've been playing this song out for, I wrote it in 2019 with Autumn Bicey and Mia Mantilla.
Cool.
And I've been playing it pretty much at every show since then.
Wow.
Pretty much every single one. It's just like it's a great way to like start out a show because it's like mid-tempo, easy listening, really like relatable, fun, like not super fun, but pretty fun, you know? And I just felt like it was the right call. You know, it's pretty commercial. It's a good introduction to like what I'm about and part of my, you know, kind of journey. And so I felt like it was a good one to go right out of the gate. And I thought the production was awesome. We recorded it at Saxman Studios here in Nashville.
Nice.
Grady Saxman and Jeff Armstreet produced it and they did a great job. And so, but I just felt like it was kind of the best kind of intro in. So that's kind of what
was it. Was it nerve wracking? Cause you're basically opening this door for this new chapter. Essentially what it sounds like to me is like, this is the start of like a Here I Am project. Like this is who I am. And I, one more thing, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but something you said that I really loved was that like the artist thing doesn't necessarily come 100% natural, which is totally cool. And like, thanks for being honest about that. Cause I think that's really important. But what I loved is that you're putting music out to benefit your writing. Cause like you can show people, okay, like when you go play songwriter rounds, right? Like you want people to listen to your stuff, but you also want people to hear you and say, oh, that girl's pretty cool. Like I want to write with her. And you know, if you don't have anything on socials, like it's or on like streaming, it's a little bit, I mean, it's not impossible at all. People do it all the time, but it's easier if someone says, okay, like who's Delaney? And they go and look and they listen. Right. Yeah. So I think it's cool. Anyway.
Oh yeah, it is. And also like, you know, when I play shows or festivals or stuff, you know, especially like I've done some stuff in Texas, obviously, cause it's an easy market for me. But like when I play shows, I have to have stuff to like, show people. And yeah, this project is really nerve wracking. I've actually sat on these songs for about a year.
Wow.
Because I was so nervous about putting them out.
Yeah. Where does the nerve fly? Cause like you've been doing this for a little bit.
I know. Yeah. I hadn't put out anything in 5 years. So that was the first like kind of point of like, you know, and it's just like, especially in Nashville, it's like people, they can like the overnight success thing is true. And also like, some people just have to grind. Like it's either like one of two lanes. You either like go viral on TikTok or you're here for a long time and you're just trying to like make it work. And I didn't know if my audience was like big enough. You know, I spent all this money on this project and did all this stuff and I didn't want it to go unheard. And that was another part of it. I was like, I really need to focus on working on my socials, working on my like marketing, working on my just, you know, kind of building up a fan base and a community or finding a niche one, you know, like, and that stuff takes time. It doesn't just happen like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I really had to work on like figuring out exactly what to do, but then I finally just had to bite the bullet because if knowing myself, I could have dragged it on for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. Like I had to stop being scared and just, I was having this conversation with my dad yesterday and I was like, Dad, you know what? You can either bitch and moan or sometimes you just got to pony up. Those are your two choices.
That's it. I love it.
Or you got to pony up and just do the thing. You got to do the damn thing. And I just got excited. I was like, I cannot be scared anymore. It's just, it's not a good way to live life. It's not fair to the songs. You know, I want to give the songs the best life they can give, but they can have, but eventually you have to turn it loose. Like you can't forever. So
you got to open the gate and they just got to go and you got to see what happens. What's created the craziest thing in the world is like, you're so mega talented and just like, hear you just say like you're nervous because you just don't know what people are going to say. I mean, like, it goes to show you that like even the most talented human beings like aren't just like can just throw it out there, right?
So confidence is like not normal. Like it's not just like, oh yeah, I know that I'm so badass or whatever, but it's like no, like it's hard.
No matter what, like it's hard. I totally agree. And it's funny because like you talk about the overnight success and the person who like really works on the 10-year town, right? And like maybe takes 13 years and still like, whoa. Lainey Wilson, great example. right? Like, took her 12, I think. I think it was like 12 years before she finally like hit it big. And I mean, I'd probably say more like 10 because she was probably doing pretty well within that 10 to 12. But like, that's a really good example because and this is not like a major negative, but like the overnight success doesn't really understand the marathoner.
Yeah.
The marathoner might understand the overnight success, but it's not the other way around. You know what I mean? The overnight success doesn't know the hardships to get to the marathon.
And it's okay to have good overnight success. It's okay. You know, it's not bad. I would never dog on somebody. If you can do it, baby, do it. Like, go crazy.
I would too.
I love it for you. It's just not the reality for everybody. Yeah. And that's okay. It's okay. You know?
And who's to say it's not the reality for you in a year? But I mean,
you never know.
But I totally agree. And I love that you're just going ahead and putting this out and that they're letting it free. You're letting it loose. Yeah. You're like a peacock. You're flying. You're flying. If you know the movie reference, you got it. But I think that it's fantastic. And to be able to hit ahead on and say, like, you know what, I'm just going to do it is great. And do you know how many songs it's going to be?
So I released 3 acoustic singles at the top of the year, live acoustic, me and a guitar, one take kind of stuff, which was super great and actually did a lot better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And then, so we're going to do 3 singles and then the total project is 7 songs.
Nice.
So, 5 fully produced, 1 live and then 1 strip. So the second single, the Any Good Wife is, it's technically like a stripped, it's like me and like a acoustic guitar and a steel guitar. And like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bit less produced, but then the third single will be another fully produced one.
Cool. Are you going to put them out as singles and then put out like 2 at the end?
Nice. So it'll be like 3. It'll be Traveling Light, Any Good Wife, and then a song called Carry the Load. And then the rest of the songs, like the full 7 after that, probably.
Cool.
So
very, just really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. What are your thoughts on, and I know if this is like a dumb question because, you know, like in a world of where singles help the independent artist, but I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on albums as wholes?
Do you love
listening to albums, and is that a goal down the line to put one out?
I would love to make a full length album. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of like the 36 song record thing.
No, I mean, it's too much to digest. I struggle.
I have too much going on in my life.
Yeah.
Hate to be a hater, but it's true. I love like 10 to 12 songs.
I'd rather 2 10 to 12ers than 1.
Yeah, me too. I like to see like, I hate it when a record also, when it sounds like all the songs are identical. I want there to be a common thread, but like, you know who's really good at it? Chris Stapleton. If you've ever listened to Chris Stapleton, it's like beautiful, soft ballad, and then like ridiculously rocking, crazy song about smoking weed.
Yeah. I mean, he has all the songs about smoking weed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I like the contrast. And so I do love a full-length record. I like for it to be, I don't know, like, for example, Lucas Nelson just put out a record.
That's a good one.
And it's really, really great because there's a lot of variety on it.
Yeah.
I can listen from the top down and not get bored and hear really great stories. And that's kind of what I like. So I would like to do a full-length record at some point. I think it would be more of just kind of like an artistic thing for me. Like, good. Not really like any kind of commercial, like, trying to get on the charts in any way.
Sure.
But at this point, I literally don't know what's going on in the music industry. So
I don't think anyone knows. No, not a soul knows.
Not one person. So I'm just probably eventually down the line, I'm just going to do it and full send.
And I'll full listen. That's for sure. That's for sure. I agree with you though. It's really hard to digest, especially just as like a listener. Like, I don't know. Cause I think like if you're really involved in music, like I imagine that you listen to music the same way I do, where it's like, you're listening for things. You're not just listening to listen.
Yeah, totally.
So like I really struggled, and this is an honest truth. And if you're listening to this and you're like, Kyle, your opinion absolutely means nothing now because you said this, like I really struggled with the Zach Bryan American Heartbreak record. Really struggled. That's not a popular statement, but like for me, like there's few songs that I would listen to separately and they made sense on the record, but like I also got lost in the middle of it. And I was like, wait, where am I? Right. Cause like things started to mesh together. And like the top kind of made sense and the bottom kind of made sense. But in that middle, I felt like it was like you put too much jelly on a peanut butter and jelly. And then it just kind of, right.
I
jelly, but that's how I felt. So
I have a lot of opinions about Zach Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do too, and I think that maybe we're the same. But
yeah, it's so great, and I love what he's kind of opened the door for people who live outside of commercial country lane. That is a great thing, and I'm really, really grateful, and I love it. I don't really understand it.
No.
It's just not really for me. I will listen to, I like some of his stuff. I love the thing he did with Maggie Rogers. I liked, you know, some of his earlier stuff. I thought it was super cool. It doesn't really speak to me, which is fine. Yeah. And I'm not like a bloodthirsty Zach Bryan fan.
Perfect. Because that's exactly where I'm at.
It's like, it is fine. A lot of it sounds the same to me.
Thank you. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people in this world that agree with you. No one will say it. Very few will say it.
What do I know? Nothing. I don't know anything. Like, he has way more streams than I'll ever have in my life. So, like, sure. I'm not, like, trying to say something definitively. Sure. I just don't really understand it. And that's fine. But I will listen to it. If it's on my Spotify, like, on a playlist of shuffling, I won't turn the song off. I'll just listen, you know? It's no big deal. But
I
wouldn't listen top down, probably. Unless I was trying to study it, which I did do. Not with that one, but the one before, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to like, see what it was all about and like study what was happening.
Sure.
You know?
I agree with you. I totally agree 100%. And I think there are probably a few people listening that know I agree because I made like a, what did I comment? I commented on something, on someone's post about Zach. And I said like something about him. And I had all these buddies like text me, like some people that like that I met through here, like Alabama, like all these people, right? Like, what is your opinion? And I was like, shit, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I was like, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I was honest. I said, I just don't get it. Like, cause I used to in college, like when Zach was like blowing up on the internet, I was in college, right? And I started like listening to those records and the Oklahoma record came out in 2019 and there was like our Dawns and then there was whatever. And I liked that stuff. I actually thought that stuff was good. And then as he like that first record I liked, and then as he like started to put more stuff out, I was like, and that's we're song like I'm a songwriter person, so are you, right? So it's like if we're listening to that and I'm like, damn, like I don't understand any of this. Like I just can't relate to it. And the reason why I started listening to country music is because I can relate to it. I can't relate to this.
I just wish it was less quantity. I think I just get lost. Like I just can't listen to that much. I'd rather have like 10 story songs that are beautifully crafted because he can do it. He can do it. Everybody knows it. He's a great writer. Yeah, I want to hear like 10 beautiful songs.
Yeah.
I can't listen to 36 songs that are the same. And I like, I don't know. I want it to be a little bit more. I mean, I haven't really listened to like the self-titled record. I've done some listening on it. I like the song Casey Musgraves. I love the song Sierra Farrell because I really like her.
Sure.
Sierra Farrell, whatever. I don't know how to say
it. Yeah, I don't know how to say it either, but I do like her. I think she's really
But
good.
I like those songs and like I like some of the stuff on there. It wouldn't be hard, like, I don't really understand why, but again, I won't turn the song up. I think he's done a great job. He obviously like people freaking love him and like, what else can you ask for? And then like really loyal fans. And like, I love that. And if he asks me to play a show tomorrow, I'd say, yes, sir. I sure will be there.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's at the end of the day, like that's what it is.
But it's not my favorite thing. So it's okay.
And I agree. It's not mine either. And that's okay. And like, what I think is great. And like, what I agree with you is that like, there's so many people, especially like you see a lot up here now is like, there's so many people that don't listen to country music and now they listen to a variation of country music because of that.
And like that's all I can ask for is like if there's some kind of exposure and there's somebody like advocating for real storytelling. Tyler Childers is another great example.
I love Tyler.
In a proportion too, but like he's a real songwriter.
I love Tyler. I think Purgatory is like almost the perfect record.
See, and I remember when Purgatory came out, it was like the hottest thing, like where we lived, because it was like, you know, whatever. And everybody listened to that damn record.
I love it.
Crazy. I really liked his last record, and I think his new one came out today, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. No, today or next week, one of the two.
I think it was today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved that In Your Love song.
It's a good song.
I thought that was beautiful and the music video was stunning and I thought they just did a freaking killer job on that song and so I'm really looking forward to the rest of the record.
I think Tyler's great. I'm all in on Tyler. I always have been. Oh, it is that today? Okay, hold on, go listen to it. I'm all in on Tyler. Always have been. But I think it's cool. I'm glad that like I'm not the only one who feels that way about because like I don't know, I feel like it's sometimes tough to to fight back against like a large crowd of people. But like most people agree, but like also, or a lot of people agree, and like you're not alone, but like most people don't want to say it because it's like, yeah, it's true. Like if he asked you to come on tour tomorrow, you do it, of course.
Totally. But like I would do that with any artist that I wasn't like crazy about. If I respected them enough, I would do it. You know, it's
Cause,
like,
cause I don't think at this, I don't think music can be overrated anymore. Like I think that everyone likes music for whatever reason they like it. But on the contrary, like if you're a massive Taylor Swift fan, I'm all for it. Love Taylor's like love her. Go ahead. Love her. I personally don't, but go ahead and love everything she does. But then you can't look at me and be like, man, like what's with the rootin' tootin' cowboy hootin' that you listen to? You know what I mean? It's like there's like, that's why I think that at this point, like nothing.
Yeah. You can't hate anybody for liking whatever they like. And Taylor Swift's a whole different situation too. She's been in the industry since she was 15.
Yeah.
And like she is like an actual superstar, like actually a superstar, like Michael Jackson level, Whitney, he's like big superstar level, but you know, she's also revolutionized the way that the industry looks at female songwriters.
Yeah.
So, which is really interesting because you just wouldn't think about that because Taylor Swift, people just think she's just this little, you know, shallow blonde girl, but she's got big guns when it comes to writing a song.
And she was 10 years ahead of everyone else too.
You can't deny it either.
No. You can't
deny women have a really solid place in the industry anymore. You can't do it. I will not listen to your opinion if you decide.
No, you are 100% correct.
You can't deny it anymore.
10 years ahead of everyone else. Remember that.
Yeah. So. You can't deny it anymore.
She's a phenomenal song. I went to her show. I went to her show and I was like, this is insane. And part of me was like, wow, all of these people are drooling over this one person. But I was also just like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Cause one, she's an incredible performer. But when you listen to like the way she delivers these songs, it's just like who the fuck is this girl? Like why? Like how is she so good? But and like I'm not even saying I love the songs, but I'm just saying the way she delivers the writing of the songs. Like maybe if the melodies are a little bit different, or like because I don't know. There's something about it that's just not my thing. But I think the fact that she's able to write these incredible songs is just amazing. So
I agree.
I'm with you on that. I think that we kind of lie in the same area, and I really like that. So I think that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to this project and looking forward to this new song coming out. If you're listening right now, I think it's what's today? Today is the 9th. What's today? Today's
the 8th.
I don't have my glasses on. I can't see that very well, but today's the 8th. It's either going to be out or it's going to be out next week. So one of the two. We'll shoot in that range. One of the two. But if you're listening now, go take a listen to the new song. Go share it with your friends, stream with everyone, and keep a lookout for the EP. I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited to see what you got coming down the pipe there.
Totally.
Thanks for coming hanging out with me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So fun. Thanks.
We'll do it again sometime.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
And I'll see you in a few weeks at the coffee cart.
Oh my gosh, yes. Please.
Month, whatever it is.
Yes, come on.
I love that. I love it. Everybody, you can go follow Delaney on Instagram at Delaney Ramsdell Music, all one word. Traveling Lights out now. New project on the way. All great stuff. Great voice, great songwriter. Awesome human. It's just going to be fantastic. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Kyle Corbus. This is another great week. This is fantastic. I love this shit. I'm Kyle. That's Delaney. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.